Genesis 11 is one of those interesting points. In verse number 1, the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And we know at this point the sons of Noah have already divided. They've already... Canaan, or Ham, has already been cursed to serve the other two. And yet, we find as they leave from this place, now, we have to consider where we are. After the flood, having those eight people survive, and the animals, and from that point, it all repopulated. Well, we know where the ark landed, right? Mount Ararat. And the Bible tells us they traveled east from there. So they were looking for some place to go. And it says in verse 2, it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And again, it's just that general region in Turkey. That's what we're talking about. So modern day Turkey, if you look at a map, that's where it is. Verse 3, they said one to another, "Go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And I found that very peculiar. You know, if they're going to build something, why not build out of wood? Now, today, that's what we do, right? We just build it out of wood. They had stones. They could have built out of stones and carved the stones and built it that way. But they chose instead to make brick, a very consistent product. Something of their own making, to use a slime as mortar to put it together. To not only to build their city, but it also says in verse 4, to build a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And that seems like a familiar idea today, skyscrapers. And I don't know how high they could have gotten with the bricks that they had. I wouldn't think they could build like we have today. But I don't know. I don't know the technology they actually were able to come up with and balance. But they had an idea, and that idea was to build a skyscraper, to build it, in their words, to heaven. They may reach to heaven. But here's where they went wrong. You see, all that's fine to build a city. It's fine to congregate. It's fine to move to a new location. No problem so far. But this phrase right here, "and let us make us a name," that's where they went wrong. You know, it wouldn't have been wrong if they had built a tower and said, "Let's build a tower unto heaven and honor God. Let's build a tower and we'll always remember that the Lord delivered us." And it'd be a landmark. Remember, everywhere they went, God was saying, "Take some stones and set it on the side of the river as a memorial. Put it in the middle of the river as a memorial. Put it in the middle of the Red Sea as a memorial." Just so that everybody would know that there was a significant event. It was just a landmark. And if they built this tower as a landmark and always look back, if they had said, "Let us make a tower to remind us of God's deliverance, of God's provision, let's hold together." And the rest of this, look at what it says, "lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." So what they were looking for was some kind of identity, something to tie them together, something to give them that bond where they would always look at that tower and say, "Hey, we did that. That's us." And they would always have that in mind, that that's what unified them, was this marvelous act that they were able to achieve together. If they had built it to God, again, it wouldn't have been a problem. But they decided to build it to themselves. And we need to take that as a thought. Anytime we're doing anything, the Bible tells us to do all to the glory of God. Whether we're building a building, whether we're building our family, whether we're building a business, whatever it is, we should do it for God's glory. So that one part they went wrong, but they understood what would happen if they didn't have something to unify them. Something that they could look to and identify and say, "That's us." And so they'd be scattered abroad. Remember, they're only in this one small place. We, of course, understand that as things developed, Ham went down into Egypt, and Shem, the Semites, the Shem, they're the Jews, they're the Hebrews. And then you have Japheth, and they're traveling up into Asia. And so we've got the division of the people as they separated. That is what happened. They did separate. But what happened here encouraged their separation. You see, God's intention was for them to populate the earth. But God's intention was for them to give Him glory in all that they did. Verse 5, and this is important. The Lord came down. Isn't that what your Bible says? The Lord came down? You know, I mean, that's Jesus. In a physical form, that's Jesus. Just as He came down to Abram, just as He wrestled with Jacob, just as He called Samuel. Jesus, the physical manifestation of God, I can visualize it in my mind as He came to this city and He walked in there. He says, to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, verse 6, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now I know that what we're looking at here in Babel is a message of for us to understand that we are not to build things to ourselves, monuments to ourselves, but monuments to God, memorials, to honor God. But if you look at what Jesus says here, we can learn a great lesson from that, can't we? You know this whole march that went on yesterday, I know that the idea of introducing that it's a women's march was just an idea of dividing us. It's not about women's rights. It's about causing a disruption in the system. That's all it was about. And the whole thing, the whole organizing of it was not really about women's rights, but by attaching it to women's rights, they figured that would shut the rest of us up. Or cause greater division. But that's not what it was about. In fact, well, you could do your own research to see who's behind it and who organized it, but it's not somebody who believes in women's rights. Okay, so as you study that and you learn that, and you see that all it is about disruption, all it is about chaos, all it is about thumbing the system, thumbing your nose at the system. And as we think about that and how America has always been this melting pot, but one thing that we could always count on was that we had this culture, this significant foundation in our country, and that was our faith, and that was our language, and that, of course, is our Constitution. So there were these things that held us together so that no matter what, and our flag, and no matter what, we could always come back and say, but this is us. This is us. And you notice here what Jesus said, these people have one language. And when we started allowing people to come in here and not assimilate to the English language and the American culture, we started dividing this country right then. And it continues today because what's happened in our country is they're allowing people to come in here. I say they're allowing. There's no pressure on people to assimilate. And there needs to be. And if they want to have their own language at home, that's fine. I read today or yesterday that the White House has taken the Spanish translation off of the White House website. If you want to read anything from the White House, you read it in English. I don't know if you like that, but I think that's a move in the right direction. I'm not against ethnic people. I'm not against foreign people. I'm not against people coming here. I'm not against immigration. I'm for immigration. But there's a system, and there ought to be a process, because when you don't control things, they get out of control, and when they're out of control, they overrun you. Look, it's the same thing in a church. Now, we don't ever deny anybody the opportunity to come to church. We've never denied anybody the right to join the church. But, you know, in one fell swoop, if a whole group of people decided that they wanted to come in here and take over, and 100 people just came in here and swamped over us, they would have control. And we wouldn't even realize, unless they said this is what we're doing, we wouldn't know that's what they were doing. And before you know it, it'd be completely different from what it is. So by God, in His wisdom, adding, one here, two there, four here, three there, God does that, and the church is able then to grow, and everybody's able to comfortably adjust. But in a country, when you swamp it with 100,000 Syrians that don't speak our language, they don't assimilate to our culture, they don't agree with our foundational faith, you're going to have a problem. And so anyway, that's my political... Yeah, aren't y'all tired of hearing politics anyway? That's not politics, that's Bible. You understand, that's not politics. I know that sometimes it seems like I'm slanting into politics, but I haven't said anything here that wasn't biblical. And it's based right, and we look at this and he said, their language is all the same. They're one people. They have one language. By the way, what does our money say? E pluribus unum? You see, one. The whole idea was one. To have unity, harmony, to unify the country. And that's what they have. That's what we have here. I don't want anybody to get an idea that I'm a chauvinist or I'm anything, you know, racist or anything like that. Guys, I don't. I'm not. But I just believe in standards. I believe that there's right and there's wrong. And the Bible is where I get that idea. They all have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. They have imagination. That's good. The strongest nation that ever was imagination. Because when we can think about it, and we can dream it, and we can develop it, boy, we can go far places. We can do great things. But when our imagination is squashed, we're held back. We stagnate. Verse 7. Jesus says, go to, let us go down. And there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Let's do what? Let's confound their language. Cause confusion, disruption. You see, Jesus here, while we've looked at the value of the attributes, now we look at the destruction of the confusion. And that's what Jesus did intentionally. He knew if they couldn't communicate, guys, if we can't communicate, if we can't speak plainly to each other, we're going to have a problem. In a marriage, as parents, in a business, in a church, in a nation. When we can't communicate with each other, there's a problem. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. And so it says the Lord scattered them, but you know what he did in his confusion of the language is how he scattered it. He didn't take them like he did Ezekiel. Remember in Ezekiel, when God was showing him the vision, God just took them and moved them. And Philip, God just took them and moved them. But here what happened is when they had different languages, they did what most people do. They found people that were similar. Birds of a feather flock together. No matter where you go, you're going to find that's true. And you can go. It's amazing to me. I was at a hospice event not long ago, and there in the room were two groups of people, and nobody divided them that way. That's how they divided themselves. And you can't stop that. That's going to continue because people are going to be attracted toward those who are like them. Brother Smith said this tonight. He said, I appreciate the way you make it simple when you preach. It's not the first time I've been called simple, by the way. And he says, so we simple people can understand you. And I say, well, Bob, it's because I'm simple. Look, we don't have to. You can be educated and not confuse education. You can be intellectual and not confuse your intellect. You can still be smart and you can still be studied and you can still be accomplished without having to talk like you're better than anybody else. But we need to dig in this word. And by the way, this is plain, isn't it? I mean, every once in a while we come across a word that we can't pronounce. But that's because it's in a different time and different types of names. But I appreciate what he said because we attract. That's the kind of church we have. That doesn't mean we're not going to attract smart people or smarter people or intellectual people or simpler people. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have a variety of people. We have very learned people in our group, very educated people in our group, and some who are still pursuing education. And that's wonderful. It's not about what we have up here. It's about how we act, isn't it? It's about how we present ourselves and carry ourselves. And so what happened is he confused their languages. And you had one over here and he couldn't understand somebody. So he walked around till he found somebody he could understand. How many of you have had to do that? Walk around till you could find somebody you understand. And so once they found somebody they could understand, they began to talk and they were sharing their stories and the language that they understood. And wasn't God smart? I believe he made all their whole family speak the same language. And so families didn't get divided. How did he divide them? He divided them by Hams and Shams and Japheths. And we had these groups that divided themselves, and you've got Japheth's group, which went to the east from there, and you've got Ham and Shem's group that both traveled south from there. And they were scattered. And it says across the whole earth, but I mean, they divided themselves is what he's saying there. The Lord scattered them abroad. Verse number 8, and they left off to build the city. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, or confusion. That's why we call baby language Babel, baby Babel, because it's confusion. We can't understand it. You ever look at a baby and he seems like he knows exactly what he's saying, but you can't understand it. And that's why it's confusion, Babel. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And he gives us here some ancestry, and we're going to pick up in the rest of chapter 11 going forward next week. Okay? We'll prepare for communion.